All right. But anyhow, so I'll call mom this afternoon. But I did email my spiritual mother today because, you know, you give honor to who honor is due. You know, when we're gonna turn here in a minute to John chapter 2, when I think about moms, I think about my mom quite a bit because my mom is a very unique individual. I can say this, that I've never met another human being like my mother. I've had, as a pastor, and the Lord had, you know, probably from the time I was about, maybe 17 years old, the Lord started shaping me to pastor. Okay, now my fivefold ministry calling is not pastor, but my fivefold ministry calling includes pastor. And so pastoring is something that the Lord started honing me and shaping me for since I was about 17 years old. And some of the what used to be teenagers back then, which I'm friends with today, they can tell you that I was pastoring back then. I was shepherding, loving on folk, encouraging folk. That's always been a part of my life, and I love it. That's why you never need a position to do what you're called to do. And so the Bible says a man's gift will make room for him, and so whatever you're called to do, it'll just happen. And so, but one of the reasons why God had to start training me young to be a shepherd or to shepherd people and to pastor people is because of how I grew up with my mother. Now, my mother is the most fearless person I've ever met in my life. I have never met a more courageous person on the planet. Now, see, I've studied World War II. I studied World War II for many years, and I look at the heroics of some of these great men. I think of Audie Murphy just down the road here in Greenville. You know, the Audie Murphy Museum and all the Medal of Honors that he got and all the accolades. And I would love to have met him and got to spend time with him because that's a courageous man. Okay, however. I'm not quite sure he's as courageous as my mom, okay? My mother was never afraid of anything. I'll never forget. I said this is a public thing to tell you about your stupid teenager things when you were a kid. And so, I have no shame, and so that's just what it is. One day, I was 15. We had this little car, little German car. That, man, it was just a high-compression engine. It would just zip on down the road. It was a four-speed standard. And so I was a teenager who liked to pop the clutch, okay? And, pop the clutch, burn the tires, or one tire maybe, and just enjoyed that. Well, I was in the driveway at our house, and I was doing that. Well, all the neighborhood kids, thought that was cool. Of course, kids, they thought that was cool. And they came, and they were all around the car as I'm popping the clutch in reverse, then going backwards in the driveway, popping the clutch in forward and going forward. That was dangerous. I could have killed somebody. Stupid teenager, my medulla oblongata wasn't my frontal lobe cortex. There you go. My frontal lobe cortex wasn't necessarily mature just yet. And so right about the time, all the kids were all having fun, doing dangerous things. All of a sudden, two houses down, this huge biker dude named Blue. I don't know why they call him Blue, but he came down and he saw what was happening. And he reached in the window, and he should have done this. He was saving all those kids. Grabbed me by the lapels and was trying to get me to stop doing that. Well, I blacked out. That's the last thing I saw. And when my eyes, when I came back to, all of a sudden I saw my mother with her finger in his face, looking straight up at him. But the craziest thing was the terror in his eyes as he looked at her. And, of course, at that point, I mean, I went cold, not because of him, but because of mom. And so I'm like, oh, God. And so I just knew I was going to die because of mom that day. Now, thank God I lived, as you can tell. But mom is a fearless person and very courageous. Now, let me just say this. I've had to guard myself because part of the what we call crazy, we talk about mama's, just some of her past. My grandmother had breast cancer. And the island, Trinidad and Tobago, where she's from, surgery wasn't readily available, so she took care of business herself. And she literally cut her own breast off and survived for a couple days. But because of the degree of that wound, the infection that she didn't have medication to handle, she died of the infection. So you have to realize, I have to work. I have, for years, I've had to work at being compassionate. But you have to see what I'm used to when it comes to courage. And, you know, I can tell you story after story about my mother. You know, there's a story. This is a true story. But during World War II, when the 101st Airborne Division was getting ready to take this town called Carentan, Carentan was a very pivotal town in France. There was many crossroads that went through that. If you controlled that crossroad intersection, you controlled a certain peninsula, and you controlled part of the shoreline there in Normandy. So we had to have that town. And so that town was well fortified. And so as the 101st Airborne Division starts walking up the road toward Carentan, there's ditches on the side of the road. Well, the Germans knew that was where they were coming from, and they had that road zeroed in with artillery, with machine guns. And so as they're coming up the road, bang, all of a sudden the Germans let loose. And so the first thing these the soldiers did, the airborne troops did, was they went into the ditches for cover. Well, the problem was the town was on high ground, and so when they went in the ditches, they weren't hidden. And so their commanding officer, Richard Winters, came out there, and this is a true story. He's standing there in the middle of the gunfire, kicking all of his troops, kicking them, telling them to get out of the ditch, and he said this. He said, "We are not dying in a ditch today." Now I say that for the reason why this. My mother used to, I always say this, she was the biggest tail kicker. She would, "Listen, you're not dying in a ditch today. You get up, you have courage, and you get things done." And so now you know why I'm a little bit, you know, when it comes to certain things, that kind of explains why when it comes to issues of fear, of courage, I get real stirred up in that area because I wasn't allowed to be afraid when I was a kid. Now, my God doesn't allow me to be afraid either, does he? Okay, yes, this is all right. He didn't want to be afraid. All right. So I want you to see this. Mamas. So we're talking about mamas, and I'll stop talking about my mama because I might get teary-eyed. And so this is John chapter 2. This is one of my favorite mama stories because it reminds me once again of my mom. My mom was fierce in the area of healing and miracles. And that's one of the things she would not let loose of. And so look at John chapter 2. This is the very first miracle of Jesus. On the third day, verse 1, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this concern you? Pardon me. What does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says, do it." Now I want you to see this tenacity here, because number one, she knew who he was, and she understood God's word. She understood that if she can get the word to say something, she can get whatever the word says. And how did she learn that? She learned that whenever the angel Gabriel told her that she was going to have a son and she didn't know a man. And she understood that if all she had to do was hear the word, agree with the word. You know, the word confess means agreement. And so it means the consent to. You know, like you would concede to a thing. Yes, I won. You know, or yes, I lost. Somebody's got to admit it. You know, okay, I lost. You know, Keys is real competitive when it comes to everything. Her and her dad are super competitive. Well, yeah, Chris, you know. And so it'd be hard for them to say they lost if they actually did lose. You lose, you know. And so Mary recognized all she had to do was get you know, the word to say something, and it's done. So she recognizes that's how it happened, just agreeing with the word, getting the word and agreeing with the word. So she says here, in the midst of all this, number one, you know, she didn't take, whatever Jesus said, she just ignored that. Because she knew, well, you know, that he's got things he wants to do, and there's some things that God has for him. But we have a need right here. Listen, a good mama looks for the Word of God and responds to the Word of God. A courageous mom doesn't look to the natural things. Well, I don't know if God's will is for me to heal. No, you got a promise. You hang on to that thing. You know, we've seen miracle after miracle. Growing up, when my mother was pregnant with my brother, she had a grapefruit-sized tumor in one of her ovaries while she had my brother in her uterus. And she was 6 months pregnant when she went into labor with him. And when they went in to get to do an emergency C-section, Once that OB-GYN got off the field, then another surgeon came in there and went to get the rest. Well, that grapefruit-sized tumor was gone. Now you think, well, why? My mother wouldn't accept defeat. She wouldn't accept the devil to win. I've watched her spend all night praying. As a matter of fact, it was a normal thing for her to have the phone in one hand and her hand on our head. She'd be on the line with the Oral Roberts Prayer Tower over at ORU. We went to a church that didn't really, they thought miracles were hit or miss. You had to work for a miracle or you had to be a super faith person to get a miracle. She knew all she needed is someone who believed like she believed to get on the phone and just get an agreement, and she'd have miracles. And so Psalms 91 was our food. Psalms 23 and Psalms 91. Now, I didn't know anything about prosperity. I didn't know anything about confession. But what I did know was Psalms 91. If there's something that we had to, my mother just knew, if you get a hold of what God said, you're going to be just fine. And so here, Mary right here, this is a frivolous situation if you really look at it. It says, his mother said to the servants, whatsoever he says, do it. See, that's a mom who's not going to give up. All right, so now there were a set of 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. This was the foot washing water. That's what it's talking about. The water they kept at the door of the house. So when you have, basically their tradition was, when you come over to their house, they would wash your dusty feet with water. And that's what that was. All right, and Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And he took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servant who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, and you have kept the good wine until now. This is the beginning of signs Jesus did at Cana of Galilee and manifest his glory, and his disciples believed him. So here we have a mom who would not let go. All she knew. Now listen, I growing up, I played like 1 year of football. I played 5 years of basketball or 4 years, something like that, ran track. I think my mom went to one football game. I think my mom, I can't remember if she ever went to one of my basketball games. I know she didn't go to any of my track meets. Why? She didn't know anything about that stuff. And that wasn't a big deal to me. But I can tell you one thing. My mom made sure that I was at church. She made sure that I was feeding on the Word of God. She made sure I knew how to pray. And let me tell you, my mom knew how to pray. And so those are some of the huge things. You see good parents, and you say, what's the difference between a good parent and a bad parent? You look at some parents, they're always at their kids' ball games and all that stuff. That's important. That's good stuff. But you know where the rubber meets the road? Is in matters of truth. And thank God my mom taught us in matters of truth. My kids, I love my kids, and they're good kids. One of the things I want to make sure, and Mackenzie likes certain things like volleyball. Max, he really hadn't really showed an interest in sports. But at the same time, I don't know what all the likes and dislikes they're going to have growing up, but one thing that it is an absolute that we do is teach them the Word of God. Now, we're not being hypocritical, and so when we do make mistakes, we let them know, hey, Daddy, Mommy, we made a mistake. The other night, I was telling Brother Chris, Max and I were sitting on the recliner, we're watching a movie, and everybody else was in there, and just happened to get on the radar and look, and this giant storm cell was coming from the panhandle, just easing its way down 287, coming this way to Fort Worth, and it had a major hail core. You could see it's a massive hail core. And so so I saw that, and I saw the trajectory headed toward our area, and I was like, well, we don't want to have that. And so I'm sitting beside Max, pointing at the radar, and I'm speaking to the blob on the radar. And so he looks at me and says, Dad, what are you doing? And I said, well, son, I said, you see that right there? I said, that's coming toward us, and I don't want that. And so you know what we do. And so he looked at me, and he understood what I did. And, of course, it's coming down our area. Well, as it comes down and hits the Metroplex, all of a sudden it takes a little nosedive to the south and went under us instead of at us. And so after it was over, I said, son, I said, you see that? I said, you see that right there? I said, that's why we do what we do. And he understood. Several years ago when we were living in Quinlan at the old house, there was that big storm that hit Wiley and literally went through roofs, down through ceilings, and were into people's bedrooms and all that. Y'all remember that? Okay. My goddaughter, she got a brand new car on that Sunday, and then 24 hours later, the next day on Monday, it was totaled out because of the hail, and I think she got all cut up because of the hail. Anyway, when she my goddaughter texted us from Wiley, what had happened, we were like, oh no, we ain't gonna have that. And so before I got to my window to begin to start speaking to that weather, my daughter was at the other window with her finger pointing out the window saying, you know what, you ain't touching us in Jesus' name by the authority of Jesus. And I thought, yeah, listen, that's what I'm saying right there. I may never teach her some kind of sport or whatever, but you know what? She knows how to take care of herself. That's what my mom did for me. And now I get to pass it on to the next generation. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15. We got to be dogged about things. If you really believe certain things, then there is no negotiation. When you really believe the Word of God, it's do or die. It's do or die. I made that statement before. I ain't dying in no ditch today. You know, I'd rather die in battle than die in a ditch. There is no glory of dying in a ditch. You understand that? All right. And so years ago, before we knew any better, we had watched so much evil ghost movies and fearful movies that we allowed an open door of fear on the inside. And we knew better. We knew better. But you know, we're just doofus little kids. And so so one night it got the best of us. We moved into this new house, and mom, there was a tombstone in the backyard. And so me and my sister were like, man, we ain't gonna sleep tonight. There's a tombstone in the backyard. Mom got mad. She got the tombstone, buried it, got a folding chair, and stuck it out there. She said, I'm going to stay here all night if y'all going to act like that. And so we're like, nope, if mom's in the house, I'm okay. And so we were more, no offense to my dad, but we were more, you know, we felt more protected if mama was there than if anybody else was there. And so we learned to take authority over things. We learned, number one, that no spiritual force, now the Bible should have told us this, I should have known this, but mom showed us, man, nothing the devil forms can mess with you unless you allow it, unless you open that door to fear to it. Fear is the invitation. Courage is the repulsion. See, we've got to be repulsed at fear. We've got to be repulsed. And that's one of the things I appreciate about my mom. All right, Matthew chapter 15. Let's get to it over here. Okay. There we go. All right. Matthew chapter 15, and let's look at, where is it? Verse 21. Verse 21. I'll show you another mother over here. Another mother. All right. Then Jesus went out from there and departed the region to Tyre of Sidon and beheld a woman. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, my son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out. She cries after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, Jesus came first to the house of Israel. You know, we call Jesus the son of David because of the lineage of who he came to. Now, thank God, that's not where he stopped, and he did have people go out like Paul and Peter and go out to all the Gentiles and all that fun stuff. But he said here, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, I want you to see this, because that's what uncovenant people were known as. You were inside the covenant or you were outside the covenant. You were people of God or you were not. That's how they looked at it. We don't look at people like that in that vernacular, okay? But we need to recognize, are you in the covenant or outside the covenant? If we are inside the covenant, we should be talking and acting like people inside the covenant. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of this, one of the things that I believe this COVID-19 has done, it's kind of shown who goats are and who sheep are. You know, who really is living inside the covenant, who really is living outside the covenant. And man, I tell you what, it's a shame and it's embarrassing. Thank God it's glorifying seeing the ones that really are standing up inside their covenant. Amen? I got to get amen on that one. All right. It's got one or two there. It'll work. All right. Now you know why I get be dogged on a couple things. I just, you know. All right. And so anyhow, let's go back to this right here. And then she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." Not as I desire, as you desire. You see, this woman did not care what covenant she was in or not. She saw something good. She saw something God. You see, she didn't recognize him to be a person of one covenant. She recognized him to be of God, and all she needed was a touch from the Word of God, and she was going to grab it and take it at all costs. You can insult her. You can call things as they are, but this woman, this mother, in light of her child, was going to make sure she stuck to it no matter what happened. You see, a lot of people these days would be a little bit different. They'd be like, "Oh, how dare you? I came to you for prayer, Pastor. And you, all you do is just going to tell us to raise our hands in prayer, not lay hands on us." I told Keys, I said, "Man, we got to really pray about this because you know, my Bible tells me to lay hands on the sick. Now, if you want to lay hands, I'll lay hands on you. By all means, we're not going to go against the Word of God. But, you know, it's kind of one of those deals. If you believe God, then come on down and we'll lay hands on you." Now, we always will, never will stop that. But at the same time, you know, one of the things that we have to realize is that we've got to hang on to the Word no matter how much we get offended at somebody. Because Lord knows, in the ministry, I have been offended. Matter of fact, the greatest offenses in my life that have happened to me were pastors or ministers that have done things, said things, all that kind of stuff. And you know what? I've had to learn to get over it. Because they are the ones the enemy is trying to use to get to me, but I'm the ones that would allow it. And I can't go further on in my life if I let somebody mess with my head. You see what I'm saying? I've got to get past some things. There are things that you and I just have to push past to keep moving forward. Amen? All right. So this woman would not let go. And then Jesus says here that great is your faith. Great. You know, there's not a lot of places where Jesus talked about great faith. But this one right here was an uncovenant woman that recognized, you know what, I can get it on this deal. You know, I grew up in religion where man, I just thought we had to accomplish this or do that or whatever. But we see here, this woman didn't even play that game. You see, a great mom, this is a great dad also, a great parent will make sure that they stand in the gap and that they hang on to the Word and that no matter what insulting thing comes around, we're going to hang on to it anyway. You know, I've watched my mom stand in the gap in some pretty ugly situations. Man, she, like the guy, that, like the big biker dude. You know, I can tell you right now, he had the right to jack me up. He was saving lives that day. You know, and actually, she probably wouldn't have had a problem with him doing something like that, except for, in her case, she wants to be the one to tear me up. And so I think that's the reason why she was mad at him was because of that right there. That was, you know. But, you know, we was raised in the village thing. My aunts and uncles had the right to whoop us and all that fun stuff. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those scenarios, and we get it. You know what I mean? All right, let's look at one last mother over here because I want to see this. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 18. Courage. Man, I'm telling you what, doggedness. Stick to it. Not going to let on to the Word. You know, my spiritual mother, Rachel Birchfield, she's a lot like my natural mom in that aspect as well, because she taught a message years ago. Matter of fact, probably 30 years ago. And she talked about bulldog faith. And she was talking about how she was out someplace and she saw, kids had a rope and there was a knot on the end of the rope and would swing the rope and this dog would chomp at it. And then finally, as the rope swung by the dog, it was a little bulldog. That bulldog grabbed hold of that knot and hung on to it and would not let go. And Miss Rachel used to always talk about bulldog faith and not letting go. And I've watched her over the years go through things. I've heard testimonies when she was pregnant with her second child, her son Peter, he should have been dead in this accident, but they just would not let go. She would not let go. You know, the camp down there in Columbus where the camp is, they've had many things happen over the years. But again, you just can't let go of the Word. You know, one of the things I learned, I heard this recently about the royal family. The royal family, you know, people look to them for leadership and influence and all that stuff. And the monarchy goes for generations and way on back. And it's really interesting. Keith and I learned to love British history the more we've gone over there. But one of the things that you'll find, the British family, the royal family, they have a kind of a general way of doing things in the public eye. Whenever there's a microphone or a camera in their face, and it's very simple, they say this when they're in public, and when people ask them questions, they don't explain and they don't complain. They don't explain. You see, a lot of times we think we got to explain certain things. Well, because we think we have to explain certain things, we think God has to explain certain things. Well, you know, there's things that we'll figure out. But you know, well, God, I'll give you. Well, why is COVID here? Everybody wants to know. Is it because of this or because of that? And then you see all the scriptures of my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. You know, that scripture was to national Israel in the first place. We're spiritual Israel, and so we as spiritual Israel can humble ourselves and pray, and we'll be just fine. We'll be just fine. But here, you know, again, we got to make sure that we're standing on this promises. Now back to this woman right here, verse 18. And when the child had grown, remember this was a blessing child. Her and her husband didn't have kids, but they were honoring a prophet. They blessed this prophet, made him a little apartment, got him a little table, a little room. And every time he'd come through the area, they'd bless him and let him sit there for free, and you know, give him the homie hookup. You know what I'm saying? And so finally, one day, just it rose up in the minister, this prophet, that you know, there's a reward. You know what I'm saying? There's a reward for doing things for God. And so he wanted a rewarder, and he asked, you know, his servant, you know, is there anything this woman needs? And the servant said, well, she ain't got no kids. And so, you know, she had a child, and all of a sudden, look at this here, verse 18, when the child had grown, it fell on a day when they went out, went to the father's, to the reapers, with his father to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. In other words, something happened. I don't know if it was a brain tumor or whatever was going on. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, you see, they always take him to the mama, don't they? Yeah, the kids get sick, they take him to the mama. All right. And when they had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she said unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may turn to the man of God and come again. May run to the man of God and come again. So she knew that if she can just run to the man of God, run to the preacher. Now see, now we understand we have authority, so we don't have to run to the preacher for everything. Thank God we have people for agreement, and that's what body ministry is. That's why the body, the every member, the arm ministers to the shoulder, and the shoulder ministers to the wrist. Everybody has a function in the body of Christ. And so that's what we can do that today. And verse 23, and he said, wherefore will thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Now see, I want you to see this, because she had the doggedness on the inside, that bulldog faith, that even though the facts say this, she was going to do what she believed. See, you will always do what you believe. You will never consistently do what you don't believe. You know, when we have situations coming around, the very first thing we do is we begin speaking the Word of God. Why? We do what we believe. When a storm is coming, you know, I know, you know, we got tubs. Actually, we don't have a tub, do we? You know, I just realized that. You know, everybody jumps in their tub or whatnot. And do that. Do that. Don't be foolish. Don't be presumptuous. But we have been practicing this for so long. It is an extension. My covenant is an extension of who I am. You look at David. David's covenant was an extension of who he was. David wasn't talking cocky. David was talking covenant. He got criticized for talking covenant because they thought he was talking cocky. You see, my personality is a little bit more quiet than it is. But when you believe this stuff, it stirs you a little bit. It gets you just a little bit stirred up. And then when you see the opposite side and all that's going on, you think, you know what? It is time to stand up and do what my covenant says I can do. All right, let me go on. Continue on. Where was I? Let's see. All right, so verse 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. Okay, verse 24, there we go. Then she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I tell you. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, listen, this is a faith answer. It is well. And I want you to see this. There wasn't a hesitation. There wasn't a hesitation. I like asking people how they're doing, because a lot of times I can interpret hesitation. You know, not up to 93% of communication is nonverbal. And so body language, hesitations, stumbling over words, a lot of that will tell on you. You say, watch it. Now everybody's going to be like, oh, I've got to make sure Pastor Mike comes up to me and talks to me. I got to make sure and I'm going to be ready. All right. Anyway, so verse 27, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And when the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I say, do not deceive me? Then she's talking to a prophet, but she's talking like a woman who knows her rights. You see, if we know our God, the Bible tells us this, those who know their God will do great and mighty exploits. We are at a time where those who know their God should be acting like the mamas. I think right now, you know, I put a post recently on my Facebook page that I shared on the church about one of the biggest scriptures mom used to always get into our heads. You know, whenever I would be going through something or dealing with something, and I'd say, Mom, I want you to pray for this. And she'd say, Son, I will pray for you, but you better make sure you're doing your own praying as well. She was telling me, son, I'll take care of you, but you're going to be on your own one day. I had a dream, probably, I don't know, man, it might have been 15, 20 years ago. And in the dream, my mom died, and my first words after the dream, or in the dream, when my mom died, my first words were, oh no, who's going to pray for me? Well, I caught myself. After that, when I woke up, I caught myself. Ah, I'm 20-something years old, and I need to grow up. I need to pull off the diapers and start operating in that courage, in that fearlessness that I was trained to. I don't care if the whole world is against me. So the scripture, it says where David encouraged himself. All of his men wanted to kill him. His wives and children were kidnapped. The city was burned. And the Bible says David encouraged himself. Let me tell you something. You know, if I ever have a bad day, it's my fault. If I ever get discouraged, disassociated with courage, it is my fault. And you know what I have to do? I've got to get in Munu's face. I get in the mirror. I really, really do get in the mirror. And I have a conversation. And I hear the greatest tail kicker I've ever known, Sukiya Munu, boy, don't you know you need to get yourself out of this ditch? You ain't dying in a ditch today, son. Get out there and fight. What I'm saying is the lessons that my mama taught me. Man, I tell you, be courageous. If you've got a weapon, use your weapon. If you have got the rights to something, use your rights. If you have a covenant, stand on that covenant like you believe in that covenant. I've had to be real cautious, and Keiza has done a real good job of it because during this COVID time, this season that we're in right now, where the world has gone nuts, I'm telling you, the spirit of courage. You remember that little cute little thing we learned in Sunday school back then? Y'all remember the cute little thing? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Y'all remember that little cute little thing? Is that cute or is that the real deal? Because if the greater one lives on the inside of us, we have the spirit of courage. If the greater one lives on the inside of us, then when we hear the word fight, the good fight of faith, it makes us throw our shoulders back, get on our tiptoes, and lean into something to get ready to hit it. It makes us go through a flaming brick wall knowing that there's a prize on the other side. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Because Munu, because of my mama, ain't dying in a ditch today. You see, a good mama. I praise God for mine. You think, well, you ought to have a mama like yours, man. I don't know if I'd be alive if I had a mama like yours. It's the grace of God. She didn't take me out. That's all I got to say. But what I am saying today is, if there's one thing I recall, you know, it's not ironic that all this junk is happening, and here's Mother's Day, because all I can think about is the spirit of my mama. All she knew how to do was fight. That's all. Okay, I'll end with this, because I went longer than my Mother's Day message was supposed to go. I remember this growing up. We went to Trinidad to visit relatives years ago. I think I was like 9 years old, and we went to my mom's, I think it was my mom's dad's house, and we're visiting him, and I guess his wife was there. My grandparents were divorced, and so as we're there talking, some dude walks in, and they introduced me. I forgot who they said his name was, but they didn't say Uncle So and So, which in Trinidad, you call everybody Uncle. You know, if you're brown, you're Uncle. You know what I'm saying? Or aunt. When we landed at the airport the first time in Trinidad, Mom just said, you know, everybody's going to want to kiss you. So I'm like walking in line kissing folk and hugging folk. And then she's like, oh, no, those people aren't ours. And so I'm like, whatever. And so the dude walks in the house. I didn't know who he was. So finally, when we left, I'm like, Mom, who was that dude? You know, y'all just told me his name and that was it. She giggled and she said, she goes, remember I told you the story about a guy who I hit upside the head with a skillet? When I was a kid, I said, yeah. She goes, that was the guy. Okay. See, my mom fought every day. She fought every day. Matter of fact, she told me she got spanking every day. She said there was one day where she didn't fight, and her dad gave her a spanking. And she told him she didn't fight that day. And he said, well, you probably deserve it for something else. And so that spirit of a fighter, you don't have to have the personality of a fighter when the spirit of the fighter is on the inside of you. You see, when that spirit of a fighter is on the inside of you, you go forward. You listen for the next thing to do. You listen for the mission. You say, uh-huh, I gotcha. Come and stop me, devil. Come and stop me. You want to try this? I will tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt me, because I was given a mission and a requirement, and I'm going to get it done by the power and authority of God. That's what Mama taught me. Let's stand. As you can tell, I love Mama. I love my mama. She's awesome. And, you know, even now, you know, she's 82 years old. One of her deals right now, she keeps fighting to live when she can go on home to be with the Lord and enjoy her reward. But again, she just can't help herself but fighting. She can't help herself but fight, you know. And so, but I'm telling you, we have that same fearlessness on the inside of us. We have, you know, I praise God that I will say this. I married a woman just like my mama. She is tenacious. She doesn't take no for an answer. She is fearless, and she will get in your face and any devil's face that comes. I'm so grateful for that, because I'm not used to cowardice. I'm not used to fearfulness. I'm not used to timidity. I'm just not used to that. Now she's helping me. She's helping me be nice and gentle about it. You know, because again, I've got to be nice and gentle, and I got to be kind to people, right? But there comes a place where you and I, in the face of the enemy, have to let him know by our words, by our expression, and by our posture, you ain't got nothing on me. It's time to go down. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for these three great women in the word that were tenacious, that stood on your word, and would not let the enemy win. Father, I thank you that this house is full of women of God just like that. Father, I thank you. Your word says those who know their God will do great and mighty exploits. Father, I thank you that in this house, great and mighty exploits will be done. I thank you that out of this house, miracles, signs, and wonders will be accomplished by the great and mighty men and women of God that are out of this house. Father, I declare blessing over every mama that's here. Father, I bless those whose mamas are in heaven with you. Father, and I bless those mamas whose children are in heaven with you. And Father, I thank you that one day there'll be a great reunion where we get to see the mamas and the children all together. But until then, we have a mission. The mission is not over yet. And so, Father, I thank you that today we got our eyes on the prize, and when the mission is over, we can leave. But Father, I thank you for these moms that are still mothering people today. Father, I thank you that the courage of the fighter rise up on the inside. Father, that a greater tenacity for the things of God will rise up on the inside. And Father, just like my mother led all three of her kids with fearless tenacity to believe the word of God. Father, I declare that every mama in here and every mama watching this video and hearing the audio will have that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, quicken their mortal body, change their identity into something massive, something huge, something powerful, and that being a daughter of the Most High God. Father, I thank you this morning that today things change because of your word in Jesus' name. So, Father, I bless the moms. I bless the moms this morning, and I bless their children. And I declare those moms that are bleeding for their children to come back to you. Father, I thank you for showing them how, showing them what to say and what to do to bring them back. Father, I thank you for grace over these families. And I thank you for peace over mamas whose children are in heaven with you right now. And Father, I thank you that they are just fine up there in Jesus' name. Now, with head bowed and eyes closed, maybe you have been struggling in the area of fear. Now let me say this, I'm going to say there's two ways, because there's also timidity. You see, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a fierceness. There is the spirit of the lion of the tribe of Judah, and I believe it is time for us as believers to have the shout of a king. I believe it's time for us as believers to roar as lion cubs, like the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so if you are believing for a greater boldness, all I'm going to ask you to do is to lift your hand and slip it back down. Yes. Hallelujah. If you're watching this rather live or later on any other venues, just you slip up your hand also and you pray this prayer with me. Listen, I sensed an anointing for boldness when I said that. I sensed an anointing for boldness. You see, when in the Old Testament, when every time the children of Israel will come up against a problem, there were some people that were timid and afraid, and then there was just a couple that said, we are well able. Let's go and take this. God required them to take the promise. The promise didn't fall on their laps. I know a lot of us, we think, oh, it's going to fall on our lap. You know, listen, you got to live by faith. Faith takes what the Word says. And so, Father, I release your boldness right now. God, I declare a boldness of the Holy Ghost rising up in each and every person that says, I want more. Father, I thank you that there's a fire in their heart, a fire in their eyes, and I thank you that a greater vision is rising up. Father, I thank you that your vision within them is rising up for the things of God, for a greater passion for more of you, for a passion for lost souls, for a passion for those that are without the covenant, even though they're believers. Father, I thank you that we will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that we will boldly hang on like bulldogs to the Word of God until we see what we believe. And so, Father, I declare that that fire and that passion and that boldness of the Holy Ghost, you said in Proverbs 28:1 that the righteous are bold as lions. I decree that today in Jesus' name. And Father, as we are declaring boldness, I declare that those watching and listening will be bold to give Jesus the control of their lives, that Jesus will be Lord of their lives. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I declare if there's anyone that doesn't know Jesus, that this moment they'll receive Him. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you just to pray this prayer after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe in you, and I want to receive you. I repent of my sins, and I receive your forgiveness. Come into my life. Be boldness inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all receive that this morning? Listen, I'm telling you, there's a new season. There's a new season, but it's requiring a greater level of boldness because now where some believers are hiding what they have, hiding their gifts, hiding their talents, it's time for you and I to shine like we were created to shine. Listen, who's going to cover this bushel? Ain't nobody. Nobody going to cover this bushel. Amen? Hey, I love you guys. Y'all have a blessed week and happy Mother's Day.